Welcome, welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Jay, that makes 14 straight Big 12 conference titles for Bill Self. Just how big is this?
Well, for starters, it has never been done in the history of college basketball.
Bringing you all of the KU Jayhawk scoop, straight from the players, coaches, and recruits.
JK, I understand you've got some breaking news for us?
I do. I've just learned that Les Miles and his staff have landed another big recruit.
For all of the latest news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. Now, here's the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody. This is Randy Withers. Welcome in. Finally, we are back with another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. It is the first podcast of fall camp, and man, do we have a lot to catch up on. We're going to touch on the crazy world that has been created by the COVID virus because it's a topic you just can't avoid. We're going to talk KU basketball, KU football is in fall camp, and busy on the recruiting trail. And there's a ton of news coming from the gridiron right now. First, let me bring in my other two partners from Jayhawk Slant, publisher John Kirby and hoops insider and all-around basketball guru Shea Wildebor. Shea, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm just washing all my masks and getting ready for the week to start.
And it's crazy how much things like that have become a part of our daily life where, you know, 7-8 months ago, mask? Washing right. Masks, wearing masks, social distancing. These were words that almost weren't really part of our vocabulary. It's just crazy.
It's crazy.
Kirby, how are you?
Good, Randy. Shea, what's going on, guys?
Man, I'm just trying to make it one day at a time, man. I'm ready to retire my mask, guys. I bring it up again. I'm over it. I'm absolutely over it. It took away March Madness. It might take away a lot of senior years in sports and football and stuff, and I'm over it, man. I'm ready for this to be over.
Alan, and I think we all feel that way, just the impact, not just the impact on sports, but like you say, on our daily lives and the people around us. But as a lot of people have said, this thing is going to be a part of our lives for the foreseeable future. And All we can do is just keep doing the right things. And I mean, the impact that we have seen, as all of us, you know, we live here in the Kansas City area, the impact that we've seen here in the metro with more cases every single day, and over the last 3 days, all the cancellations that have come from the various school districts and everything of fall sports, of activities, of in-person classes, the decision whether to go with a hybrid model or all online. I mean, it's just talking about online. Did any of us know what a Zoom meeting was 8 months ago?
Nope.
I wish I had stock in Zoom.
Yeah. No question. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's amazing how our lives have completely shifted in the way that we go about everything. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of people, Kirby, I know you and I have talked about it. We've had people reach out being like, hey, I'd love to hear another podcast. And part of that has been the fact that we never knew what was coming from one day to the next. We didn't know if there was going to be anything to talk about. So I'm just grateful that we've got KU sports to talk about right now.
At least for right now we do. And I hope it continues. I hope we have a football season. I hope we have a basketball season. You know, I was talking to Kemper the other day, and he's like, Dad, when is this going to end? I mean, you know, he's got to start school out at home. There are no football practice. You know, he can't do any camps. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what are we supposed to tell these kids? I mean, it's like, you know, they get used to a certain way of life, and then all of a sudden it just halts. Not seeing his friends every day, not being in a classroom, you know, not being surrounded by his peers. And I said this yesterday, and I kind of took some heat for it, but I mean, like, I can't imagine not having football in my life as a high school kid, as a middle school kid. I mean, aside from the wins and losses, man, it was about the camaraderie and the relationships and the life lessons and just all those things. And you know, that being taken away, you know, I feel bad for everybody. And I know, listen, this is life. It's bigger than sports. But I'm not sure that I would be here today had I not participated in you know, those events and in those sports, and you know, learn those life lessons. So, man, I'm hoping it gets back to normal soon.
You know, one of the things, guys, that I've got probably one of the biggest questions on, and I don't get into the whole medical stuff. I've said this on the board. Heck, I'm not smart enough. Now my wife's a neonatal nurse practitioner, and practitioner. She works with doctors and infectious disease people. So, you know, there are some pretty smart people there that have opinions on it. But, you know, between that and the politics, I usually just stay out of it. But I got to tell you, you know, my two sons, my oldest played, I think, 37 baseball games in 7 weeks this summer without a, you know, there was no hiccups, there was no pauses, no cancellations. I think they played teams from like 9 different states. And then my other one is a pole vaulter, 100-meter, 200-meter kid. And, you know, he's been doing that 5 days a week all summer. And they're, you know, they're still continuing it. So I guess one of the biggest questions I've had is how can a lot of these things that have gone on all summer without really interruption, and then all of a sudden the high school stuff is getting paused or stopped in several locations. I guess it's one of the biggest questions I've had is how the kids can do activities all summer and then not now. But hey, I guess they pay people a lot of money to figure that stuff out other than me.
Yep. And the Kemper was supposed to have camps all summer long, and week after week after week after week, they just kept getting canceled.
Gosh. You know, it's crazy because I was over, I had a conversation with an athletic director. I live in the urban core of the city. I was talking with an AD on the Missouri side just last weekend, and he and I were discussing how for so many families, for so many kids and parents, involvement in athletics, excuse me, for the kids that live in the urban core neighborhoods where we have seen just such a significant spike in street violence this year with over 120 homicides already, for a lot of parents and a lot of kids, sports are the only thing that keep them safe and protected and away from situations they don't want to be in. And it's not that, oh, if I'm not playing football, I'm going to be doing the things I shouldn't be. No, it's just staying into safe environments where there are adults around to keep them safe and to keep them active and keep them doing positive things. And it's, there are a lot of parents, and I've mentioned this on Twitter. There are a lot of parents right now on the Kansas side of the metro area that are looking at relocating to the Missouri side of the metro so their kids can have sports. And it's not just because they, you know, well, my kid's put in all the time, he deserves a chance to play. For some of them, it's not about that. For some of them, it's, okay, my kid needs this opportunity as something to keep them out of situations that they don't want to be in. And there are a lot of kids that I've talked with too that they miss, you know, like Shay was saying about Kemper, they miss being around their friends. They miss in-person classes, even though they may complain about going to school. Kids miss that. They miss that interaction. They miss that structure. And I think that we're not going to know the real impact that this is having from a societal and mental health standpoint for 20, 30 years. And I know everybody said it's an unprecedented situation. It is. We're literally writing the history books every day as we go along. But it's, gosh, I just don't know. With every decision we make, it seems like there's somebody's going to get hurt by it. And it's like you have to choose the lesser of two evils with everything. And I just feel horrible for all these kids and these coaches. You know, I've been retweeting a lot from the Wichita area this week and seeing the pictures of kids breaking down crying with their coaches when they learned it was over. And it's just heart-wrenching.
Brutal. I'm ready for it to be over.
You know, Shay, let's go back a little bit. Well, not just a little bit. Let's go back to basically when all this started, back to March. How surreal was it for you when you were there at the Big 12 tournament and suddenly the entire thing, you start getting word, they're shutting it down. We're done. We're going home. What was that like?
You know, Randy, for me, I think it was a little bit more. Here's the thing with me. I'm a guy, like, I'm used to a routine. So when the Big 12 tournament's scheduled and has been scheduled for decades and decades, it's not going to stop. It's just not all of a sudden going to stop. So when it was, I remember sitting at the, like at the lunch table area, grabbing something to drink, when it all went down, and I'm like, this is not happening. This can, I mean, it just can't happen. You know, and then I remember telling myself, there's no way the NCAA tournament's going to not happen. It's just not going to happen. They can't do that. I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe they can limit the number of media press credentials they give or, you know, do something like that. But there's no way it's not going to happen. And then it happened. And I'm like, especially of all the years, Randy, I mean, this is the year Kansas looked really, 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 really good. Yeah. I mean, I think this is the year when they, I mean, this was, I think it was kind of Kansas and maybe everybody else. And I'm still shocked and stunned. There are nights when I go to bed just thinking about what might have been. But, you know, then the NBA started and then the NHL and all these other things stopped. And it was just like, I mean, this is serious. But to me, I can remember sitting in the Sprint Center. I remember exactly where I was sitting, just being absolutely stunned. Because, you know, it's something I've covered for 20 years. It's just, it's always, and even as a kid, I remember my parents taking me out of school on that Thursday when it was the Big Eight, and then just watching Thursday and Friday. And I mean, it's always been a huge part of my life. And I was just stunned, man. Disbelief. I just, you know, I never thought it would happen. I was naive and I guess maybe kind of refused to look at the bigger picture or maybe get a full grasp of how serious it really was. But man, I was stunned, man. I'd already booked my hotels for and plane tickets for all three sites. You know, man, I was ready to go. I mean, this was the year that I really thought it was going to happen for Kansas. So I think that made it even more shocking simply because it just looked like everything was lined up for Kansas. And then all of a sudden it's gone. It's taken away from you.
I still remember I was driving past the Westin where all the teams were staying at downtown and seeing the buses and the kids walk out that afternoon and load up. And it was, I actually put a picture of the OSU bus on my Instagram page, and it was just shocking. It was, yeah. Everything had just gone deathly silent first off in downtown. And the only thing I can compare it to that I've seen in my life, it was kind of like on 9/11. When the world just stopped and you went and you just looked outside and you wondered what was coming next. And I mean, that's the only thing that in my lifetime I have to compare it to. And it was surreal. It was absolutely surreal. I can't imagine what it was like being there and watching them pull players off the floor.
Yeah, I remember my son came to me and he said, when this all went down and then it, a day or two kind of went by, then they started talking about the NCAA tournament. And I remember my son saying, hey, Dad, do you think they're going to cancel the NCAA tournament? I go, oh, no, they won't cancel the NCAA tournament. Yep. You know, I said, they're, you know, financially and just, you know, and at the time.
Exactly, the money.
Well, at the time, we didn't know really, you know, what this was about. And I'm like, no, they'll play that. Don't worry about that. And I was dead wrong.
I was too. You know,
let's stay on the basketball side with things. Let's get into this, Shay. Kirby's going to move into the studio. He's got an interview. We were going to have a special guest today with KU commit and Lawrence High football and baseball standout Devin Neal is going to join us. He's going to move into the studio to take the call. Shay, it's going to be you and I for a few minutes. Let's start with hoops. You know, I know you said, and you just mentioned it a few minutes ago, you felt that it was KU and really everybody else last year.
For sure.
And that season just was gone. Let's not look back, because we've talked about that as much as gosh, I don't know if it's harder to look past it or to look back at it. But let's move ahead. Going under the assumption that we will have a season this year, tell me about the team that Bill Self has coming back and your thoughts as we look ahead to the upcoming year.
Yeah, I think they've got a chance to be really, really, really good. I do. I don't know if maybe as good as last year when you lose Devon Dotson and Udoka Azubuike and Isaiah Moss. I mean, you just don't replace those guys, especially right away. But, I mean, you know, you've got Marcus Garrett at the point guard. You know, you return guys like Christian Brown. You know, you'll add Jalen Wilson, who was injured, Tristan Inaruna. You know, hopefully Silvio D'Souza can give you something. You throw in Bryce Thompson, Ochai Agbaji. You know, David McCormick's going to be primed for a big year. You know, they got Jethro Muscadin, who I'm not sure is going to be ready to play like right away, but I think in time is going to really provide you a guy in the post that can rebound, block shots, and then Mitch Lightfoot. So I think, you know, I love the backcourt. You know, I love. Oh, and I sorry, apologies. Tyon Grant Foster, the number one ranked JUCO player in America. So, I mean, I love the backcourt. I love that you can throw in Marcus Garrett, Tyon Grant Foster, and DeJuan Harris, who redshirted, Christian Brown. Bryce Thompson, who's a shot maker. You got a ton of talent, out there on the perimeter. Guys that can score, guys that can get to the bucket. Obviously, Marcus Garrett's going to be that two-way guy who's going to be a beast on the defensive end of the court. I'm just interested to kind of see how things go in the low post. Obviously, you've got McCormick, like I said, who's primed for a big year. What are you going to get from Silvio? Are you going to get Silvio that had a big game, I think it was against Duke, to lead Kansas to the Final Four a few years ago? Or are you going to get the Silvio that just never got on track last year? What are you going to get at all in Jethro Muscadin, if anything? I mean, he's a guy that needs to add some weight. Obviously he's going to come in as a freshman. The game's different. The speed of the game's different. What are you going to get from Mitch Lightfoot? I know he's excited. I know he put in a ton of work. I know he redshirted so he could have this year to kind of be the leader, to get significant playing time. I'm excited, man. But I love the guards. I do, and I hope I didn't miss anybody, but, Garrett, you can throw Garrett out there. You can throw Grant Foster, Christian Brown, DeJuan Harris, maybe Latrell Josel. I don't know if he'll play a role right away. You got combo guys like Jalen Wilson, Tristan Inaruna, Ojai Abaji. So, yeah, I mean, I love the makeup of this team. If they have a season and everything comes together, I think they got a chance to be really, really good.
No, I know you love the backcourt, but I think the Silvio de Souza discussion is it's just such a strange path that he been on since he's been at the University of Kansas, with everything that he's been through, with having to sit out and everything. And last year, obviously, like you say, we saw him have a great game and then just kind of disappear.
Yep.
Do you think that with the departure of Udoka Azubuike to the NBA, and a lot of people saying he's projected now as a first round draft pick, so that's awesome for Doak. Do you think Silvio being potentially the only dominant post player they have, the returner, the guy that Self always leans on, those upperclassmen in the post and in the front court, do you think we see him return to what we saw from him early in his career with the Jayhawks?
I do, but I think that's a reason. But I think, too, here's the thing, Randy. He came in as a freshman, graduated early from IMG Academy, played sparingly, had some big moments late. I think it was Udoka that was hurt in the Big 12 tournament, and, he really stepped up big that weekend and had a big tournament. Then he sits out the next year, doesn't play at all, is heartbroken, has to go through all the stuff, finds out that he's eligible, and he's so grateful and thanks to Kansas fans and expects to have a big year. And then last year, it just wasn't. It just didn't happen. And then obviously the incident with K-State, I think the emotion of everything just kind of weighted him down. He could never really just be him. I think he thought that he had to play up to this level that where the expectations even for himself were just too high. I just think he needs to come in and play. Just play the game. Just do what you know how to do. Play your role. Let the game come to you. Don't force anything. Don't push anything. Don't try to play Superman. Understand that you've got a lot of talented guys around you. And if he does that, he's going to be successful. Just let the game come to you, man. Just go out and play. Go out and do what you've been doing your whole life. Don't try to do this too much or this too little or whatever. Just, play your role. And if he does that, listen, I think he's going to have a big year. I do. I think he's got a chance to be really, really, really good. If he just plays, just play your game. And if he does that, I think he'll be great.
Let's shift gears now to recruiting, mainly with the 2021 class. Tell me about the players that the Jayhawks have committed at this point. How many spots does Self and his staff have available left to give? And give me a few names who you're following the closest that you think could be the next ones to step up and commit to KU.
Yeah, Zach Clemens, the 6'10", 205-pound, really combo forward from Sunrise Christian Academy, and was the first to commit. And I love him, man. He's ranked 29 overall. He's a guy, he's more of a stretch four. He can step outside and score from beyond the arc. He can score down low. And I think he's really just ready to come in and play. I mean, he's a guy that I expect to hear his name early. Committed to Kansas without a visit. Loved everything about Kansas. With the COVID thing, he's just been working hard. I'm at his home in San Antonio. And, I expect him, assuming they play now, to have a really big year for a talented Sunrise Christian Academy. And then most recently, KJ Adams, a 6'7", 220-pound forward from Westlake High School in Austin, Texas. I love his grittiness on the defensive side, fights for every rebound. You know, he's going to get up in your face, you know, aggressive and all those things. He needs to work on his jump shot a little bit, but he's a two guy that can score with his face to the basket. Probably needs a little bit more work. I think right at this stage, Zach is more ready to come in and help. Yeah, but, I mean, they've started – listen, considering everything's going on, if you can get a kid from Westlake in Austin, Texas to commit, and then a guy like Zach who'd never been on campus, I mean, you couldn't have really started the class any better. You know, moving forward, Randy, I wish I could tell you what to expect. You know, they were the – in my view, Kansas was the team to beat for Kendall Brown. You know, when he a couple weeks ago popped for Baylor, you know, yesterday, Nolan Hickman, who many believed would commit to Kansas, got a layoffer from Kentucky and popped. You know, with everything going on around the program, and I hate to bring it up because it's been going on for a while now. I mean, you got Hunter Salas, a 5-star point guard from Millard North in Omaha, who has everybody after him. You know, you got J.D. Davidson, a 6'3 guard from Alabama, who recently trimmed his list to 6 and Kansas made the cut. I know that KJ Adams is working hard on Damian Collins, 6'9 forward from out of in Texas. There's a kid out in Oklahoma they like, Trey Alexander from a Heritage Hall. Tamar Bates, obviously, he's probably, if you said I had to say one guy is going to commit next, I would probably say Tamar Bates, originally from Piper, going out to IMG Academy in Florida. So yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of guys they're on. I mean, I'm just interested to kind of see how it all plays out. You know, are visits going to open back up? If so, you know, is late night going to be a tool again? Is late night even going to happen? You know, I just think there's so many unknowns right now that it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I know they got guys that they're recruiting hard. I know that they've got guys, you know, elite guys that are interested. I just, you know, with everything where it is now kind of at a standstill, I don't know what the next moves are going to be. My thing is are guys going to start committing, you know, without taking visits like they kind of have been? And, you know, how does that affect Kansas? I mean, you know, with so much unknown, with everything kind of going on around the program, I think kids want answers, and I don't know how soon they're going to get those answers.
How difficult has it been for this coaching staff? I mean, obviously, I mean, Coach Self is one of the best in the country, one of the best to ever do it, as we all know. But to have the kind of the continued specter, I know nobody wants to talk about it, of the potential NCAA sanctions hanging over them, that combined with the total upheaval of the recruiting process and everything with the college basketball world and the world in general with COVID. I mean, what else could happen at this point? It's
I don't know.
How have they been able to continue through all this?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. I don't know. And I'll have to go back and look, Randy, because I don't want to say anything, but I believe it was, you know, Kendall Brown, who recently committed to Baylor, grew up a huge Kansas fan. I think born and raised in Minnesota, made the move to Sunrise Christian Academy. And I think it was his dad in a update after he committed saying that they weren't comfortable or they with the unknown of what's going to happen at Kansas, they just, you know, it wasn't a fit for them. And I can tell you that they aren't the only ones. And I think if you were to talk to Bill, he would say the same thing. I mean, I just, again, it's nothing bad against Kansas. You just, you have questions that you want answered. And when you don't get them answered, you allow yourself to think of, well, it could go this way, but it could also go this way. In an age and era of one and dones and this new league that kids are going to, I mean, I just think you're not only battling other schools, but you're battling other opportunities. You know, kids can make money now. I know KU was recruiting a couple kids that went to that new whatever G League initiative. Isaiah Todd, one of them, who originally committed to Michigan, and then so yeah. I mean, you got to battle. I mean, people are always going to be trying to one up you. They're all behind the scenes. They're always going to be, well, do you want to go to Kansas? Really? Wow. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. So the staff has got to fight through a lot of stuff. But let me tell you this. Coach Self from day one has maintained that when all is said and done, he'll get to tell his side of the story. you know, his staff is still intact. No one's been removed. So that leads me to believe that, I mean, at the end of the day, if Coach Self says that his story is going to be yet to be told and he's going to tell it, well, then, that, you know, I'll wait for that to happen.
There it is. That's the final word from our man, Shea Wildebor. Shea, you really, that was phenomenal. For I know, like I mentioned earlier, we've had a lot of people, a lot of subscribers and a lot of Jayhawk Slant fans reach out and say they were hoping for another podcast and they were waiting for us to get back in the studio. You basically recapped everything with KU Hoops around the world in about 20 minutes. That's really impressive stuff. Great job. I promise we will start doing these more often. We will get you back in again. Thanks for everything today. That's our man, Shea Wildebor, the Jayhawk Slant Hoops Insider. Now we're going to bring John Kirby in. Kirby has been in the studio recording an interview that you're going to hear here in just a little bit with KU football commit Devin Neal. Kirby, this has been a crazy month, crazy couple months in recruiting for Les Miles and his staff, recruiting to the Jayhawks on the gridiron. And we've seen them over the past month pick up 6 commitments in 4 weeks' time. And who would have ever thought they could be close to wrapping up this class already with the season not even really having kicked off yet, with so much uncertainty around COVID and just everything going on? Give me your take on what's been happening lately with this program.
Yeah, Randy, on the recruiting side, they really have done a nice job, and they've got a lot of kids that they had targeted early on their board, which is one thing I always tell people, that's something to watch for in a class. Now, a lot of that, I think, has to do in part, Kansas was one of the first schools, they were definitely the first in the Big 12, where they went out and put together a virtual Zoom tour where they showed kids the nutrition, strength and conditioning, academics, tour the campus, tour the dorms, tour the facility. And it was almost like taking KU to them online. And that idea hatched. I talked to Josh Ergel, the recruiting coordinator, about this, and I wrote a couple stories about it. You know, when they had their junior day and spring games canceled, they had a lot of recruits coming to that second junior day in late March, and then they had a lot of guys lined up to visit for the spring football game in April. So they kind of had to figure out and reverse course and say, you know, we just can't put our arms up and say, hey, we lose the kids, we lost the visitors, tough luck. But, you know, they found a way to get their message out to them, and then the Zoom calls allowed recruits' parents to be on the calls and things like that. So a thumbs up to them for their creativeness and a way to figure out how to get that thing going. And like I said, they were one of the first, if not the first, to really put that together and execute it and put it out to the recruits. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, yesterday they got Tommy Dunn Jr., a defensive lineman out of Neyman Forest in Texas.
Big defensive lineman.
Yeah, and I wrote on the board yesterday that, you know, it'll be interesting to follow him. He's got a new high school coach, and he said they're all ready to get going, and he's going to play more defensive line. He didn't play a little bit as a freshman, didn't play any D-line as a sophomore because they needed him at tight end. So I think that shows what kind of an athlete he is at 6'3", and he's legit 289. I mean, when I say 6'3", 289, this isn't a kid just saying it. That's what he's verified and measured in at camp. So, and then staying in Texas before him, you had Demarion Alexander, a linebacker who will fit in the 3-4 scheme on the edge, can play the linebacker position. He was originally committed to Minnesota, decommitted. And once he decommitted, you just had a real good feel about Kansas, because when I talked to him 3 days after he committed from Minnesota, after he decommitted from Minnesota, he said he had been staying in touch with Chidera Uzo-Deribe. And right there I went, okay, it's game on, it's game on. Before that, Christian Hawks, offensive lineman out of Norton. Again, some of the linemen I really like they've taken, that 6'5", 260-pound kid. And when you look at some of these guys' frames, when you even look at their pictures or watch them in the videos, you can see these guys can put on 30, 35 pounds easily and probably keep a lot of their athleticism and flexibility. Cameron Gray's a cornerback out of Alabama. He hasn't played a lot of corner, but you know, he had early offers from Florida State, Auburn, Missouri. You know, very talented kid. A lot of his films at wide receiver. Then Devontae Wilson, another, you know, 6'3" corner. If you look at these corners Chevis Jackson's been getting in his time at Kansas, it's almost like a prerequisite. If you're under 6 foot, we don't take you. right? I mean, it's like, I mean, every corner they're getting is 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". Now, I don't know if that's because, you know, they like those kids, and if they can't play corner, they can play safety. I don't know what the plan is, but, you know, they play with five defensive backs. So every year, you're going to see Kansas take corners and safeties because in the scheme that they're in, that's what they need. And then wrapping it up with some of the recent commitments that we've had, Larson Workman, an offensive lineman from Texas, a lot like Christian Hawks. He is, you know, people commented on his photo and they're like, wow, you know, he's a big boy. I mean, he's a lean kid for that size and he can put on a lot of weight. And I think that's what the coaches are looking at. They see good feet, they see long arms, and then they see a frame that, you know, can develop down the road. So they've done a nice job, especially here in the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've landed about six kids and, you know, we'll see what happens here because I think there could be more coming.
You say there could be more coming. Who are you watching for at this point? Who do you think could be the next to jump on board?
Well, I've got forecasts out there on Shad Dabney, who's a corner out of Georgia. He's got like 20, 21 offers. Kansas, Arizona State, Syracuse, Cincinnati were probably the ones that are on him the hardest. I really think Kansas has moved to the front for him, and I put in a forecast for him. And yesterday I put one in for James Wright, a safety out of South Carolina. He was committed to East Carolina. He just decommitted yesterday. And decommitted on Friday, I believe it was. And right now my days are running together with everything. So I don't even know what yesterday was. But I think that, you know.
It's like COVID living for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no kidding. But I think that Kansas is in good shape with him. Athletic kid, can run real well. And then speaking of safeties, John House, a safety out of Tennessee, he was just on campus. I reached out to him. Haven't heard back yet how he, you know, what his trip was like, but he came in with his family. And that's kind of become a big trend lately is these recruits are getting in the car and they're going with their family and they're driving to these campuses because you can't see a coach. You can't talk to a coach. You can't have a guided tour. You can't be with your on-campus recruiting coordinators. I mean, it's just kind of a wild rule. So these
how weird is that? I mean, have you you've been covering recruiting for a long time? How would you ever thought you'd see a time where kids would go to visit campuses and not talk to coaches, not really be able to see anything football related, and then make decisions after the fact?
Well, I think it was Larson Workman that told me, offensive lineman out of Texas. He went in with his family, and they looked in the facility. Like, they had to peek in at the indoor. Lights were out. Doors were locked. And, you know, he had to look in there, and they had to try to see what it looked like. Obviously, you know, he'd seen it on Zoom tours, and he knew it was a very new facility. But that's kind of what it is, you know, these kids are, you know, they're going blind into this. But what's going on is some of them are coming in and just taking their own dime and driving just to get a feel for the town, just to say, hey, at least I went there. I saw the town. I saw what the atmosphere is like. We went and ate at a couple restaurants just to get the feel of where you may commit to. So you got John House. And then what's going to get interesting is I think there's one spot left for some type of a defensive lineman. And I don't know if it's going to be a guy that projects to be inside. I don't know if it's a guy that projects to be more on the outside. But the guys there, you know, are Mandela Tobin out of California, Jarrell Boykins out of Louisiana, and then Jaden Jones, a defensive end, who I'm starting to get a good feel about for Kansas. But he was committed to North Texas, and he opened it up. And again, back to these trips the kids are taking, he told me that he was going to go in to visit Lawrence, and he was also going to go see Colorado. So I think that's coming up pretty quick. So, I mean, Randy, the way this thing's going, you know, the class could be wrapped up before you even know it. Now, there's a lot of things in play here, okay? I think you have a lot of recruits around the country that are making their college decisions to secure spots. I really believe that. So
I agree.
You can see some decommitments coming up. I'm not talking just at Kansas. I'm talking nationwide.
Everywhere.
Yeah, this will be something to watch, especially if the NCAA ends up opening up official visits down the road, which, you know, it's just crazy to me that a kid in the second week of December could be signing his national letter of intent and having never physically met a KU coach, never having been on campus, but that is a real possibility. And the way things are trending, I'm starting to think it's more of a chance that will happen than it won't. And then something else that I'm watching close is the NCAA numbers and how that's going to play out, because the council met Wednesday and they were supposed to talk about transfers. They were supposed to talk about the possibility of giving 50 scholarships over 2 years. None of that information's been updated from the meeting that they had last Wednesday. One of the things they did talk about, and this is another thing that could play in with recruiting, is if you play or don't play this year, you will get your year of eligibility back as a player. So that's going to leave some tough decisions for some of these college programs, because number one, it hasn't been determined yet whether they're going to add scholarships. So are they going to let schools carry 110 scholarship players for maybe like a year till they get back down to normal numbers? And then if they do, you've got schools who are cutting back sports. You have schools that are losing millions and millions of dollars. Look at Kansas. They just requested a $20 million, you know, a loan based on how the college football season goes or doesn't go. So for them, to come and tell a program now, hey, we're going to let you carry 20 more scholarships or something for a year, you're going to see schools pass on it, Randy. You're just going to see schools say, we can't do it. So you'll see, my guess is, you're going to see a combination of they're going to tell some of the seniors who would actually have a year to come back, hey, we don't have a spot for you. They could end up, some schools could go to committed players right now and say, we don't have as many spots as we thought we were going to have. We've got to drop you, or we got to move on. We're not going to have a spot. So, I mean, this thing is like a moving target every day of what's going to happen. So those are some things to keep an eye on here in the future.
It's just, it's crazy how much that there is to keep up with for fans, let alone this coaching staff. I mean, everything that's happening. What has it been like for you personally? I know I said earlier, you know, you've been covering recruiting for a long time, and you obviously have. What has it been like covering recruiting during a global pandemic?
It's so weird to me to talk to recruits that are committing and they haven't ever met a coach. They haven't met anybody on staff, you know, and I get it. Hey, Zoom calls are about as good as you can get. And Lord knows I've been on enough of those things. And I get it. That's kind of the new way to do things. I mean, businesses, that's how they're doing it. That's how media is handling interviews. I mean, I get that's how it's going. It's so weird to watch a Royals post game and see, you know, Mike Matheny from the Royals or the players, and they're just sitting this Zoom, and you hear the voices coming in on the computer, and you almost sometimes don't even know who it is. But, you know, there's no summer camps. These guys weren't able to do evaluations. And I guarantee you, guys like the recruiting staff, guys like Dave Shumate and Will Redman and Drew Hickson and all those guys, Dirk Wedd, I guarantee you they are just sitting there and they're praying for high school football this fall, because I can't imagine the jobs those guys have trying to give out scholarships in the 2022 class of kids that don't have film. I mean, you're literally going to have situations where a football player may have played JV football. Let's say he's a running back, but he sat behind some running back who's a four-star stud. You may be offering kids or evaluating kids whether to offer them or not based on their JV film, because they couldn't beat out this kid that was in front of them. And if they don't get film this year, then you're not going to have anything to see them. It's such a bizarre situation that sometimes I've got to just shake my head sometimes and say, is this really going on?
It is literally the possibility exists. And every day we see more and more schools that are canceling sports for the fall or rescheduling their seasons to the spring in states across the country. There are going to be so many staffs that are literally flying blind on a lot of kids in that 2022 class. It's like you say, it's crazy. It really is. Well, KU luckily had the opportunity to get a very known quantity in Devin Neal, a young man from just down the street at Lawrence High School, a standout in football and baseball that will play both sports for the Jayhawks. Not only is he one of the highest rated commits that the Jayhawks have gotten in this class, he is a local kid. It just doesn't get any better than the package right now that is Devin Neal. You've talked with Devin. You're going to talk with him now. I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's go to the studio line and hear from KU football commit Devin Neal.
Our guest this week is known by every KU fan who follows recruiting. At least they better know who he is. Talented running back and local favorite from Lawrence High, Devin Neal. Devin, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I want to jump in and talk about your summer. I know I saw you guys out at the ball fields. I think I saw you guys at Creekside and down at the Urban Youth Academy. You know, you got your baseball in, you're doing your football workouts all summer. What's it like juggling two sports like that, and how busy can you get?
Surprisingly, this was actually one of my less busy summers. You know, I've been kind of used to doing this double sport. Actually, it used to be multi-sport summer with basketball. And, you know, it used to get a lot busier, but with everything going on this past summer and the climate, it honestly wasn't as busy as I thought it was going to be because everything was up in the air, whether it was baseball tournaments, baseball practices, or even football practices. So, you know, kind of blessed for that, kind of taking a break almost, but not really at the same time.
Okay, it didn't look like you were taking a break in the weight room, because when I saw you this summer, it looks like you've added some muscle and some size. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. My big emphasis this year was putting on more muscle mass and staying in best shape as I could. And, you know, with all that time that I had, I was just using a lot of it to work out and continue to get bigger and stronger and faster.
You know, we're all hoping that the high school season happens around here in football. You know, last year at Lawrence, you guys had a great year under Steve Rampe, who's a tremendous coach. I followed Steve Rampe back when he was at Blue Valley in the early 90s and some of those teams he had. What do you think of your team this year if you guys play?
Oh, it's really exciting. You know, we have all these players coming back, and most of us have been playing since sophomore year. And, you know, it's kind of really unheard of nowadays for having such younger teams starting out as sophomore year. And so our experience levels are extremely high, and that comes with a lot of patience within Coach Rampe and the offense, because he can just keep building on that. And, you know, there's always new wrinkles that he keeps adding in. So it's really exciting for us, and we're expected to go far in the playoffs and see where this thing takes us.
I want to go back to your recruiting. You know, you picked Kansas early. You had a lot of good schools that were recruiting you, and I'm sure more were coming to get in the picture. You know, just break down your decision, kind of a big picture thought, and just tell me some of the reasons that you chose Kansas and you felt that was the right place.
Definitely number one on my list is the coaching staff at KU. They obviously went through that transition. I think that was earlier this summer. No, last summer or late last summer. And they always were in touch with me. Every single coach on the offensive staff was in touch with me, and that was big for me. And I just build relationships with those guys constantly, almost every day. And then location is extremely important to me, too. My family is all here. I can have my grandparents, all my family members watching the games here at KU. And then baseball was a huge aspect for me, too. And I know Coach Price and the rest of the baseball staff were recruiting me before they were recruiting me for football. And that was huge for me, knowing that a team wanted me for baseball and they wanted me for football. And I was just comfortable with that and being able to play both and having the opportunity to play both under Coach Miles and Coach Price.
You know, one of the new coaches is Jonathan Wallace. Everybody's been waiting to see these guys in action. There's been some other new coaches on staff as well, but at your position, he's your position coach. Just talk a little bit about him and what it's been like getting to know him.
He's one of the best guys I've ever met, one of the best coaches. He's truly a bright mind. He instantly won me over, and I haven't even met him in person yet. All it's been has been FaceTime calls, regular calls, letters, text messaging, and that's just the type of guy he is. That's the type of guy that I want to play under, and, you know, when you have relationships like that, you just know right off the bat, and he's going to be one of those guys that I'm going to look forward to talking to almost all my life, regardless of football.
My last question, and to wrap it up, You seem like you stay pretty involved with the recruiting. When there's recruits who commit or a guy that's narrowed his list down, you, it seems like you're on social media saying, hey, join the family and things like that. Just talk about the role that you play, and then how tight also are you with some of the other kids who are committed and your guys' role in helping out in that area?
So when I first committed, my main goal was to get the best players at KU because those are the type of players that we need to change the program. And that was absolutely huge for me and the coaching staff. And they just let me go on and they told me about the players we wanted. And I kind of told those players who are far away from KU and they couldn't get here for visits to tell them that they're comfortable and what the city is like and what KU is like since I'm a native here. And, you know, just using my role to kind of just getting the best players here. And that was, and then my relationship with the other players is, we all have a group chat together, at least all the offensive commits, and then we sprinkle in some of the 21 defensive commits too. And we just talk about anything just like normal kids do in that group chat. And, you know, we talk about who we're trying to get on the recruiting trail as well, and then they branch off and do their thing. And then, you know, it's just a trickle-down effect, and we're just trying to get the best players to Kansas.
Well, Devin, I really appreciate your time and you joining us on the Inside Slant podcast. I really hope we get to watch you and everybody else play some high school football in the area. And good luck, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you for having me.
That was Devin Neal. What a great young man for the Jayhawks and just a tremendous piece to this recruiting class. Kirby, I want to switch from recruiting to the team itself. Obviously, fall camp has started. What are your thoughts going into this season and the unprecedented situation that the program and that NCAA football across the country finds itself in? And do you think that we will have a full season in 2020?
Hey, Randy, I can only hope, right? I mean, I can't read into a crystal ball. Heck, you know, all these things changed. Just 2 weeks ago, they're talking about, you know, everybody doing some sort of in-person school, and now as a parent we get, you know, word that that's not happening. So I mean, this stuff changes every 24 hours, and I've gotten to the point, I kind of told my wife this, that, you know, I don't even really watch the news much anymore. I just, you know, it changes so much, and there's so many way different opinions out there. But you know, Randy, I've looked at this year coming in as a transition year for Kansas. You lose, I went and looked this up, you know, just on right tackle and left tackle on the lines, you lose 1,600 snaps on offense. On defense, you lose 2,300 snaps on the defensive line, 2,800 snaps in the secondary. Now, I know what a lot of people say. They're going to say, oh, well, hey, this was a 3-9 team, so the players behind them have to be better, right? Or there has to be just as good as players behind them. Well, remember, those kids last year that left, they won the jobs last year. So in the coaches' minds, they were the best players they had in the program at that time. So that's one thing that everybody's got to remember. And I say a transition year because I look at it now that this is actually Les Miles' program now. The first year is always hard, especially taking over a situation in which he did. You know, his first recruiting class he had, he didn't even have a chance to sign an offensive lineman because there weren't any spots open for him because they were all taken from the previous year. So you got, what, four new coaches, Josh Ergel, Chidera Uzodiribe, Jordan Peterson, Jonathan Wallace. Am I missing one? No, that's four. So you have those guys that are new in the staff. So you've got staff turnover. You've got some new players coming in. You know, Brent Dearman's going to come in and take over the offense. So I look at this as kind of a ground building year again. And then let's see how it goes from here. They're doing it right. They're recruiting high school football players. I feel good about the future. I really do, because this is how you win at Kansas. I feel like I can write a book, Randy. I've covered 21 years. I've covered, you know, I followed the KU football program very close under Mason. I knew a lot of coaches on his staff. I started following it when Terry Allen came into the program as the head coach. I followed it ever since. Been to about every game and every press conference that you can have since then. And I feel like I can write a book on how you win at Kansas. And if I did write that book, these guys are filling it out right. I mean, they're doing it with high school kids. You've got to get those kids who can develop over a year or two, and then you start plugging them into your program. And then, you know, you'll get some guys that are good enough to play as true freshmen. But really, what you want to do is you want to start having layers of kids in your program, 20 to 25 every year, who are high school kids that you can keep building on. Offensively, you got to love what they have with the weapons. Puka and Parchment and Stephon Robinson and Lassiter. You know, I hear a lot of great things about the wide receivers in the program that are in the younger classes that have just come in. I've heard that, you know, these guys will even push some of the upperclassmen. I don't think you're going to see anybody beat them out, but, you know, Lawrence Arnold and some of those guys, I'm hearing great things. Luke Grimm, I've heard a lot of good rumblings coming out about this young receiver job. You know, quarterback. That's the one thing that right now, based on everything,
that's what everybody wants to know about.
Well, it's the one thing, Randy. Right now, it's the one position I wouldn't put money on. I think coming into the spring, everything we're hearing, it was Myles Kendrick. Everything going in the summer. Now, keep in mind, you had no spring football. You had very few summer workouts, which I think really hurt Kansas because, you know, summer or spring would have helped Brent Dearman having a chance to have 15 practices with all those guys, having meetings after practice, getting a chance to work with them. I think that really hurt. But I think right now, I hear a lot of good things about Jalen Daniels. But right now, I think it's going to be Kendrick or McVitie. I've heard McVitie's turned a little bit of a corner. I've heard he is battling with Kendrick, and this thing is way too close to call. Moving over to the defense, you know, I talked about this. You got young players in the secondary. You know, up front, you get some good snaps back with Burt, Caleb Sampson, Malcolm Lee. There's some guys there. Heard good things about Dejon Terry. Dropped a lot of weight. Jeremy Robinson came in about 275. You know, so there's some young guys. There's some guys like Burt, Sampson, and Lee that played some snaps last year. I think those guys had between 200 and 350 snaps each. So there's guys that at least had some experience. And then at linebacker, you get Prox back and you get a little bit of experience there. Gavin Potter will have another year in there. There were some talented freshmen that they signed that are there now. So, again, there's holes to fill from last year. There's still questions. But to me, things are trending in the right direction with the way they're building this program.
That's the last word from John Kirby now. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast. We know it's been a long time. We are glad that you guys were patient and were ready to hear from us. We are working on lining up guests already for our next episode. We're going to try to have updates more often, more episodes of the Inside Slant for your listening pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Be sure and check in on the Jayhawk Slant message boards. There is more news, more information hitting there than maybe I've ever seen in my time working with Kirby and Shea. Be sure, if you aren't a subscriber, you want to know everything that is going on in KU basketball and KU football, subscribe today. Check in on the message boards. For John Kirby and Shea Wildebor, I'm Randy Withers. Thanks again for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.